In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you have ever looked at those birthday cards which list important things which happened in the year of your birth. I was born in 1962, and so that year holds a sort of fascination for me, which was rekindled by the joyful celebration here last Sunday afternoon of the 55th anniversary of independence for Trinidad and Tobago, as I am the same age as that beautiful and ethnically diverse country. What else happened in 1962? A quick look online revealed in the weeks before I was born there was a rare conjunction of all the visible planets, which I think had nothing to do with my birth. Fidel Castro was excommunicated by the Pope, and Bob Dylan released his first album. Just after that, Coventry Cathedral was consecrated and Andy Warhol showed his Campbell's soup cans picture in Los Angeles for the first time. Marilyn Monroe died and Nelson Mandela was arrested while London was covered in thick smog. The first James Bond film, Dr. No, was premiered and the Pope convened the Second Vatican Council. The Cuban Missile Crisis threatened the world with nuclear destruction. Alexander Solzhenitsyn published One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. The phrase personal computer was used for the first time, and the United Nations condemned apartheid in South Africa. Before the year 1962 ended, Lawrence of Arabia was premiered, and Britain and France agreed to build Concorde together. Also, in that same year, 1962, Thomas Merton, a Cistercian monk in the United States, was also writing. Today, I'd like to share with you some of his words, not my own, written in that year, 1962, not about today's readings, but rather about Mary, the mother of our Lord. On Friday, the children from St. Peter's School came here for their first service of the school year, and as that day was the second of the two feast days that we celebrate for Mary, it was the feast of her birth on Friday, I talked about her and how the Magnificat suggests that she inspired Jesus in his belief in the justice of God's kingdom. Devotion to Mary has never been a big part of my own religious journey. I've never accepted the traditional Catholic teaching about her physical virginity, her sinlessness, or her assumption, which seemed to me to be about a negative view of the sexuality of women, which I reject. But I do want to understand more fully the role that she plays in our salvation, both practically and spiritually. So I was delighted to find these beautiful figurative and poetic words of Thomas Merton written about her. And so the rest of this sermon is his and not mine, the edited highlights from A Homily on Light and the Virgin Mary. Please forgive the archaic use of the word man. We've all come a long way since 1962. God, our Father and Creator, who is pure being, pure truth, pure light, willed to kindle the light of his truth outside himself, and for this reason he made the universe. The first of his material creatures was light, the purest and most beautiful of all other material creatures. Light was a material image of his own truth and beauty, yet it was only the beginning of the work of God, who wished to kindle the lamp of his own truth, fashioned the whole material creation as a lampstand for the true light. Now, God made the lampstand, or the universe, by a word, commanding it to exist. But the lamp, man, he fashioned tenderly and carefully with his own hands. As he made the lamp, he also breathed into it and kindled it with the light of his own truth, beauty and grace. For man, made in the image and likeness of God, shone with the very light of God within himself. He came into existence with divine light dwelling in his inmost being. But as soon as the lamp was set on the lampstand, by an act of his own perverse choice, the lamp put out the light and refused to be rekindled. Then there was a great darkness. In the darkness, God continued patiently to prepare his true light. But now there was something in the lamp which needed to be refashioned. The lights which God kindled in the old law were preparations for the perfect rekindling of the lamp. Lights which were lit in worship and justice, wherever man met God in liturgy or in his works of justice, mercy and truth. Thus creation will become again a lampstand, and man, the lamp, will be placed on it in order to be lit with the light of truth. For this is the light which God really intends to kindle in us. The Church celebrates in Mary the perfect rekindling of the pure light which had been extinguished by the sin of Adam. In Mary, the lamp was once more perfectly clean, burning with pure light, standing on the lampstand, illuminating the whole house of God, restoring meaning to all God's creatures, and showing the rest of men the way to return to the light. Not that Mary was filled with any light of her own, but because she was the first fruit of redemption, perfectly sanctified by the sacrifice of our redemption even before it was consummated, to give greater glory to the power of that sacrifice and to prepare a way for the Lamb of God, the light of the world, who was to come into the world through her consent and her obedience. The Church's liturgy applies to Mary the sublime biblical texts about God's wisdom itself, who is the brightness of the eternal light and a mirror without stain. She is more beautiful than the sun, and compared with the light, she is found to be more pure than light itself. How can these things be said of Mary? She is only a creature, and these words belong to the uncreated wisdom itself. But we must remember that the light that shines in Mary, the light that shone in Adam before his sin, and that God wished to shine in every man, is precisely the light of God's own wisdom, the reflection of his own truth, indeed, his truth itself. For by the supreme liberality of God and the pure gift of his grace, man shares in the life, the light, the truth, the beauty of God, and thus becomes the Son of God in Christ. No one has ever more perfectly contained the light of God than Mary, who by the perfection of her purity and humility is, as it were, completely identified with truth, like the clean window pane which vanishes entirely into the light which it transmits. Thus she is all beautiful. She is the glory of Jerusalem and the joy of Israel. Indeed, the light that shines in Mary is the same light that is to shine in the whole Church and in the entire cosmos recapitulated in Christ. Mary is compared with the heavenly Jerusalem, filled with the light of God like crystal and precious stone. Each person is, in a way, the end of the whole material creation, which he transcends by his spiritual nature and by his vocation as a son of God. Only in Mary is this vocation perfectly realized. This explains why the liturgy shows her identified with the creative wisdom of God, as if she were, so to speak, what he intended before all else when he planned and fashioned the mountains, the stars, and the oceans of the world. In Mary is perfectly realized God's creative and redemptive plan. That is why she is said to be for us the light of truth and pattern for life. That is why her spiritual beauty includes in itself all the beauty which we see in partial and incomplete form in the universe. In her is all the beauty of the world transfigured and elevated to a level beyond our comprehension. And yet we cannot help but see that she is, like ourselves, a human creature whose littleness has been glorified in the light of Christ and who has been saved from the power of darkness and evil by the grace of his cross. It remains then for us to celebrate her immaculate beauty, to open our hearts to the same light of truth which sanctified her, the same grace which made her pleasing to the Most High, who is her creator as he is ours, and who wishes to see realised in us the same ineffable mystery of light. More than that, he wishes to see the whole world saved and transfigured in that light by reason of our perfect acceptance of his gift, his love and his grace, and our transmission of the power of his love to all men and to all other beings by our work, our prayer and our love. So wrote Thomas Merton in 1962. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.